Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
We are in a series, and we're talking about following Jesus. Jesus' call to everybody was to follow him, not just be a Christian. Matter of fact, what we learned the first week we talked about this is the word Christian was kind of a slang word. Christian didn't call themselves Christian. They called themselves disciples. And Christian started actually as like the word redneck would start, or deadhead for you Grateful Dead people. In the beginning, it was kind of a slur, but after a while, those rednecks who are really rednecks kind of enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Or Grateful Dead people like the deadhead thing. Anyway, so Christian, the word Christian started out as kind of a, not a racial slur, but a slur toward these kinds of people who were following Jesus. And so what we talked about when Jesus called people, and when Jesus called us, you kind of say, man, I really can't follow. I'm a sinner. I got issues, I got problems, some that people know about and some that people don't know about and hope they don't know about them. And so I really can't come follow Jesus because I'm a sinner. And bingo, every person that Jesus ever called was a sinner. So just because you're a sinner doesn't mean that you can't follow Jesus. And then you say, well, I'm an unbeliever. Great. You know, the disciples really didn't believe that he was the Son of God for a year or two into his ministry. They were following this guy because he could do incredible miracles. He was feeding them. And so I've been around church long enough to know that sometimes the preacher's going on and on and on, or people are going on and on about something, and you really don't believe what's being said. Because we're civil, we're nice, we would never stand up and say, I don't believe that. You would say it on the inside, though. And if you don't believe all those Bible stories and all that kind of stuff, that's fine. The disciples in their early days weren't believers either. They didn't believe the whole thing about all that that people talk about. So, but Jesus still says to Matthew, to Peter, he says, follow me. So not only do you not need to be a sin-free person and to be an unbeliever, it's a prerequisite if you're going to follow the Lord that you got these issues going on. If you're following somebody, the key is, screen A, put it up there for me, Austin. Where is following Jesus taking us? Any good leader knows you got to tell people where you're going, what you're trying to do. Seeing unchurched people in the next generation become passionate followers of Christ, that's where we're going. That's what we're trying to do. And so what is Jesus taking us to? Where are we going? What's the destination? The first one is not just to be a better person. Jesus isn't calling you just to be a better person. Even though I think if you follow the Lord, you will be a better person. But he's not calling us just to be better people. Hi, come follow me. You're going to be a nicer guy. Hi, come follow me. You're going to be a better mom. I think you are, but that's not the purpose. It's just to be a better person. Some of the best people I know in the world are followers of Jesus, but that was not Jesus' number one call and why he called us. Number two, it's just not that you're going to heaven. Hey, come follow me and you can go to heaven. Who got saved as a child, and the way you got saved is, I'm telling my own story here, is that when you're a little kid, they said, do you want to die and burn in hell forever, or do you want to go live with Jesus and be happy forever? How many of you know you pick heaven and happy pretty quick? Unless you're really strange. But anyway, yeah. But Jesus' main goal is not just to get you to heaven. Or after you said, Lord, I want to follow you, and you've received Christ into your life, you could fall over dead, and Jesus could say, mission accomplished. But the primary goal, matter of fact, Jesus doesn't talk that much about heaven. A little bit he does, but his primary talking was not about going to heaven and be with me and you're going to be on clouds of gold and all that kind of stuff. Or the third one, not even pain and problem-free life. The Lord doesn't say, okay, I tell you guys, you hang with me, follow me, and you will not have any problems ever. Your wife will be sweet. Your husband will be kind. Your children will always obey. If you just do these things, then life will be problem-free for you. Don't you wish he'd have said that? He didn't. He didn't promise problem-free living. He didn't promise pain-free living. He didn't say, if you follow me, no one will ever offend you again. Actually, we're going to get into it in a minute. He said exactly the opposite. And so, put the screen B up there. All magic works. I want to talk to us about our superstitions and about our magic. All magic works some of the time. All magic, it works some of the time. Who's ever known anybody really superstitious? Don't worry, maybe I had not shown anybody up here. How many know some coaches wear the same socks every time they win? And if they wear those socks and they lose, they change the socks and go to another sock. How many know there's a lot of superstition and that kind of stuff? How many know it really doesn't make any difference what socks the coach wears? Teams win or lose the game. It's going to be a tough crowd this morning, isn't it? I thought Mother's Day you'd be a little benevolent, but I guess not. How many know the psychology of magic is, if I told you, if you're out of a job and you don't have employment, if you would take the Bible and open it to the book of Job and read a chapter, two chapters a day, starting on Monday morning, before long, you would have a job. And if I said, if you would do that, you would get a job. How many know within a week or so, somebody would email me and say, Pastor, what you said really works. I didn't have a job, and so I read the book of Job, and it's the book of Job, for those of you that aren't getting the joke on this. And sure enough, my husband got a job a week or so later. And then I would read that email and reinforce that this would be true, and more people would do that kind of stuff. And because magic kind of works in, the more you believe it, the more it'll happen for you. Who remembers chain letters of old? If you get this letter, and if you pass it on to 10 people, then you're going to be rich or be happy or get whatever it is you want. And if you don't, then you're going to be unhappy. And so I've known people that were scared not to send those things on. That's before email was in. Maybe they still do it. I never get them. But if you're into that, I don't mean to offend you, but I do mean to think you're a little strange and need to stop it. Oh, okay. Who knows what I've got in my hand right here? Who knows what this is? Does anybody, maybe it's too far to see. If I said it's St. Joseph, who knows what St. Joseph is good for? Don't shout out. Who knows what St. Joseph will do for you? Anybody know? Huh? What will St. Joseph do for you? Well, not many superstitious people in the crowd. This will help you sell your property. There is a St. Joseph home seller's kit. I told it to a few folks, and they knew exactly what it was. They didn't want to say it right out loud in church. Now, let me read you what this will do for you. The tradition of burying the name of the statue, St. Joseph, finds roots in ancient Christianity, a custom of burying precious metals in the ground, invoking God's blessing on the area. They want you to know, it is not the metal, but the blessing that brings God's power. Today, homeowners of all denominations ask for St. Joseph's help in selling or buying their homes. There are many documented cases of this powerful intercession, just as Mary and Jesus looked to Joseph for provision, strength, guidance in his role as husband and father, so we can encourage you to look to St. Joseph for help in the sale of your property and home. Now, and there's instructions on how to use this St. Joseph. You are to dig a hole in the front yard and to bury him head down. Now, not just any way head down. If you're trying to buy a home, you're trying to sell a home, you do it facing the home. If you're trying to buy a home, then you would put him facing the real estate sign. But this only works if you believe. How many works for Amazon.com at $6.95? And the only thing that's sure is somebody's making a profit off this. And so people, not you, but people have actually done this for years. And because they believe if they do it just right. Matter of fact, there's a prayer that comes with St. Joseph. There's little instructions and things that you're supposed to do. And if you will do it, it'll work for you. Talking about following Jesus. So people aren't much different today than they were way back when. Matthew 10:16. Let me read it for you. Jesus talking to his disciples. He got a group of guys. He's got a lot of people following him. They were all disciples. But these 12 were like the inner circle. And so things are going, man. They're healing people, raising the dead. He's feeding thousands and thousands of people. And there is nobody more popular than Jesus. And so in Matthew 10, it kind of picks up mid-story. And so let me start reading in verse 16. Here's Jesus talking. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Sending us out among like sheep like wolves. Lord, I thought this was the kingdom of God coming. Things were going to be wonderful. And he says, no, you're going to be like sheep among wolves. Now, just let me say, all this stuff that happened to them, I'm not saying this is going to happen to you. They're not going to flog you in their synagogues. Okay, everyone just breathe a sigh of relief. This is not going to happen to us. This is 2017. Believe it or not, they're really not going to get you. ISIS probably won't get you. They might, but they probably won't. So I'm not talking about dealing with that kind of stuff. Look at verse 17. Here's what he says to them. Be on your guard against men. When I read this, you know, we read the Bible too fast. It could have sounded like a man-hater there. Who's ever known any ladies who had been hurt or whatever? Therefore, be afraid again of all men. Beware of all men. Sorry, that's how I saw it. They will hand you to their local councils and flog you in their synagogues. And the disciples are saying, whoa, 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 we didn't sign up for this. You know, what do you mean flogged in the synagogues? If you don't know what flogging is, it's when you saw the Passion of the Christ where they beat Jesus with that cat of nine tails. And many times that was deadly. And if it wasn't deadly, it was certainly public. And you bore those scars on your body the rest of your life. So, gentlemen, you're going to the beach and you take off your shirt to go swimming and everyone's going, oh, you've been in trouble with the law, haven't you? It's not like getting that record expunged where nobody really can track really what happened. They knew it was public. And so Jesus says, here's what's going to happen to you guys. And they said, what? I don't think so. Left a permanent scarring. Verse 18, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. The book of Acts goes on and talks about that. What these guys were brought into the governors and kings, and Jesus says, on my account. Look at verse 19. But when they arrest you, he says, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. What do you mean what to say? I don't want to get arrested. Jesus, I thought, you know, I mean, this was moving here. When I said follow Jesus, I thought, you know, being like one of the ushers or one of the guards around. No, no, no. Jesus says, they're going to arrest you on my account. He says, but when they do, don't worry about it. Don't worry what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. Well, if we could be given what to say, God, why didn't you protect me in the first place from getting arrested? How many would think that? Lord, if you could help me on the back end, why don't you help me on the front end? I remember years ago when I was first pastoring in Nogales, I was probably 25, 26 years old, and had a four-wheel drive international carryall. And I was taking a bunch of the kids, and we were going to go camping. And as we're going down the road, I hear this rattling in the rear end of the truck somewhere. It was pulled over, and sure enough, I blew a U-joint. And right on the side of the road, there happened to be some baling wire. Of course, any place, Nogales, there could be baling wire most anywhere, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, we pulled over and found some baling wire. And so I thought, well, and then I put it in front wheel drive, and then we could make it just fine. So I thought it'd be a good lesson for all the little boys in there. And so I taped it or wired it up, and I said, isn't it amazing that baling wire was right there? And one of the little kids spoke, and he said, where was God when the thing broke in the first place? So I said, shut up. That's what you say when you don't know the answer. He says, don't worry about what to say. And you want to say, God, how come I got arrested in the first place? But verse 24, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. Well, if the Spirit of my Father is going to be speaking through me, why did he let me get arrested anyway? And look at verse 21, brother will betray brother to death. I mean, we're not talking just a little gossip here. Brother's going to betray brother to death. And father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Really? Come on, Jesus. Look at this. And all men will hate you because of me. Yeah, I was thinking about it. We had a newcomer's lunch last Sunday. Went to Joe's Barbecue. Had just a lovely time sharing all the things the Life Community does. I thought it'd be really interesting to tell those folks, and I know you're here this morning, but if you come to Life Community, I want you to know that we're under federal indictment and they will probably take your house. See you next Sunday. I don't think, Pastor, we're out of here. We're not under federal indictment. But how many of Jesus said, and they're going to hate you because of me? At that time, there were thousands of people crowding in to get to Jesus. Remember last week he had to step on the boat and preach from the boat because there's just so many people. So Jesus says, guys, here's what's coming. You want to know where we're going? Here's what's coming down the pike. Then he continues. Let's skip to verse 28 of Matthew 10. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. They're going to hate us because of you. They're going to be betraying each other to death. Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus is saying, I want you to change your focus. Instead of all those people out there and you're scared to death of them, scared to death of what they think, what they say, what they're going to do, and they're going to do some terrible things, he says, don't let that rattle you. Don't be afraid of that. But if you want to be afraid of something, be afraid of the one who can take the body and the soul. He says, I want you to change your focus. And look, he goes on to verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus says, where I want to take you is to sometimes where it's going to be really chaotic and really things that you didn't plan on and things that you might have not signed up for and things that you weren't knowing was coming down the pike. Don't let that kind of stuff rattle you. Don't you know that God your Father is watching over everything that's happening to you? He knows when a sparrow falls out of the sky. And you're worth a whole lot more than that. So Jesus says, what I want you to do is not be afraid of all that stuff that may or may not happen. Oh my God, what if this happens? What if that happens? He says, no, no, no. God watches over the sparrows. And don't be afraid of those guys that can kill the body. But be afraid. Let your fear. You're not talking about being scared of God. Like, ooh, I'm so scared of him. No, no, no. Let your respect, let your fear be of him that can take the body and the soul. Change your focus from all those guys that can get you, all those people that can sue you, all those people that can do all those kinds of things. And he says, and know that you respect me for God because you're worth much more than a sparrow. And God keeps track of all of that kind of stuff. See, I think Jesus takes us to a place where our faith in him is stronger than the stuff around you. So, in your bulletin, number one, don't be afraid. God won't let bad things happen is magic. You just get saved. You just come to church. Nothing bad will ever happen to you. But that's magical thinking. That's not Bible teaching. You just put your money in the offering. It means you're going to be rich forever. And nothing bad will ever happen to you. That's magical thinking. See, don't be afraid when bad things happen. It's confidence. We're not talking hocus pocus here. We're not talking saying the right words, sitting in the right pew, just saying the right things when church. No, no, no. That's magical thinking. Jesus wants to take you places in life so that you're not swayed by every crazy thing that can happen. We all admit we live in a kind of a crazy world at whatever stage of life you're in. And Jesus wants to take you where you can live life, not reacting to everything that might and will. Oh boy, I tell you what. No, 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 no. Unflappable. Not movable. Secure. Knowing there's a God that's watching over you. A God that you're very valuable to. Much more than a few sparrows. It's not saying the right words. Ooh, what if I said the wrong words and I really didn't. It's not about that stuff. That's magical thinking. And Jesus repeats this principle over and over and over and over again. He wants to take you to places. And as you live your life. See, for me, I'm a little older. And there's things that just scare the willies out of you. And God says, I want to take you and walk you through that, Delmer, where you're not so afraid of everything around you. If you're young, you got a young family. There's a whole other set of issues that come. You still with me? Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Matter of fact, those of us that are going to Israel, we're going to walk right by where he said all of these things. Right? The Sea of Galilee is here, and there's a little hill right in front of it, and that's where Jesus was talking. He said, oh, ye of little faith. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. Oh, ye of little faith. Don't worry. Saying, what are we going to eat? And what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? He said, verse 32, for the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He says, I want you to change your and have a different source of confidence. He says, don't be so scared. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? You know, how are we going to look? How are we going to fit in? What's the next thing going to be? He says, don't worry. He says, the pagans seek after these things. But he says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what it costs to live in 2017. God knows what a single mom has to live on in 2017. God knows your situation. And he said, I don't want you to be afraid of all the and things that happen. Because bad things happen to good people. They really do. I wish I could tell you, if you just come to Life Community Church and join the church and put a little money in the offering, then nothing bad. That's not true. We live in a fallen world where bad things happen to good people. But you do not have to be afraid. One time, Jesus is out in the boat. cute. The kids were coming in from chapel the other day. Jamie was doing chapel for the little kids. And my granddaughter, Ellie, she's in the first grade, and she was singing a song they learned in chapel, and it's raining, it's pouring, and Jesus is snoring. And I said, what? She said, we learned it in chapel. I said, what's this? It's raining, it's pouring, and Jesus is snoring. The story of when Jesus was asleep in the boat. These guys are fishermen. The rest of them probably couldn't even swim. So they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. It's only about 200 feet deep. And so when the wind comes, the waves, it can be a storm in an instant. So Jesus is down in the bottom of the boat sleeping, and this storm is just about to take this thing down. And these disciples are scared to death. How many of you know if you're in a sinking ship, you would be afraid too? And God, where are you? And this, and they said, Jesus, you don't even care. This thing's about to go down, and you are asleep on the job. What's wrong with you? Jesus, you're supposed to fix this. And so they come and wake him up. And as Jesus gets up, peace be still. And the storm stops. How many know that would just be freaky? And then here's what he says to them. In Mark 40, chapter 4, verse 40. Then he said to his disciples, why are you afraid? What do you mean, why are we afraid? We are in a sinking ship. And old Matthew over there doesn't even know how to swim. And it's too big to swim out anyway. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, Jesus says, you know, guys, this is small potatoes for what you're going to face. And I want you to know that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be with you. So then look at the next verse, verse 41. Then they were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? See, I think you can be in terrifying situations. I don't mean sinking ships, but I mean facing lawsuits. Facing divorce issues. Facing illness. Facing joblessness. Those are terrifying situations. And Jesus knows that. He says, I want you to know, don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid. I've known all kinds of people that in those kinds of times, they make reactive decisions and get in trouble worse than they were. They make the relationship worse by the actions they take, and they're really just scared to death. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. I've got this under control. And you are really valuable to me. You are really precious to me. See, why is this don't be afraid thing tied to where Jesus is taking you? See, because I think Jesus wants us to go through life and not be weird and not invoke some kind of superstitious thing that nobody ever gets you, that you walk through life and face reality head on without denial and without fear because the Lord is with you. See, I think that's why God is not just to you be blessed or be a better person. Am I making sense to you? Number two, overwhelming faith honors God. See, when you don't understand what's happening, instead of that thing coming out of your gut or coming out of wherever it comes out of, and you say, God, this is not fair. I tell you what, on and on the accusations it goes. What overwhelming faith will do, it'll let you honor God. I'm not telling my own child what to do. My other son's pastoring, I have one son and one daughter, Jeff's not here, Jennifer is. I'm not telling you what you ought to do, but how honoring it would be for a dad. And you know, I'm not talking to Jennifer. For when something's cooking around, for your own children, say, you know, I don't understand all that. And I wasn't there when he said this or that happened, but I know him well enough to know that when he is here, he will take care of that, and he did not mean what you think he said. How honoring it is to the Lord when you can say, I wouldn't have chosen it that way. Maybe I wouldn't have the elections go that way. I wouldn't have had politics go that way. And I wouldn't have this law and that law be passed, and if it were up to me, but I know this did not take God by surprise, and he is in control, and God can work that out. It's amazing how much honor that brings your Heavenly Father. Just like you earthly dads and moms. When your children would say, I don't understand that, I know that mom will make that right. I know that my dad will make that right. How honoring that is for God's children to say it's not how I would have planned it. It's maybe not how I would have let this go. But I know there is a God, and He makes it right. And my dad will make it right. Number three, overwhelming faith frees us to love other people. That's why Jesus, hanging on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Those Roman soldiers that day, they just thought they were killing some crazed rabbi who claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus knew well that the plan of redemption for all the earth was being set into motion, and these guys didn't have that kind of perspective and had no clue to what was going on. But Jesus' love for them was not diminished because He only saw the instant. What a greater perspective. If you can take fear out of that, say, they're making me look bad. I'm going to pay them back. They're making me look like some kind of a moron. And when they say this, I'm going to say this. And instead of getting into all those kinds of things that are really driven by fear, driven by insecurity. What are people going to think about me if I'm driving some old beater car and I'm not looking successful? What are people going to, those things are driven by fear. They are driven by fear. And Jesus wants to take you to a place where you're not driven by fear. You can love people because they do not understand the broader picture here. They do not understand what's going on. And Jesus said, where I want you to take those of you that will follow me, I want to take you to a place where you're not scared how you're looking, your reputation, how it's going to reflect on you. That doesn't affect how you love other people. It really broadens your circle of love because it takes the fear right out of it. And there's no protection of yourself that you got to make yourself and take care of yourself. Look what 1 John 4:18 says. There is no fear in love. The perfect love drives out fear. It gives you the ability to see a bigger picture. Let me tell you a story that happened to me one time. When Jennifer, who was now 43. Sorry about that, Jennifer. Anyway, long time ago. When I was in Bible school and we didn't even think about insurance in the day. We were thinking about food on the table. And we discovered that my wife was going to have a baby. And so in the day, it cost about $800 to have a baby. A doctor was about $400. And the hospital bill was about $400. That lets you know how long ago that's been. So I'm in Bible school and I'm working. And I'm associate pastor of this church. And I'm working at a janitorial service. We're cutting lumber, cutting wood, trying to sell cords of wood. And I'm trying to make enough money to earn enough money to pay for this baby that's on the way. So I'm working every possible hour, going to school full-time, all this kind of stuff, and the jobs just weren't coming in. The money was there. I was getting paid $3 an hour, yay, for minimum wage, way back in the day. And I couldn't understand it. I'm saying, God, where are you? Where are you? You know I've got a baby coming, and I got to pay my way, and I'm working every possible hour, and I'm getting ticked at the Lord. And God, where are you? It must have shown because the receptionist at the doctor's office, she said, Delmer, have you ever checked into Medi-Cal? And I said, what's that? She said, it's a state thing that they might help you pay for the baby. And I said, you're kidding. I'd never even heard of such a thing. So I went down to Medi-Cal in the day, and I explained to them my situation, and they said, well, how much money do you make? And I gave them my check stubs, and they said, oh, young man, the state will pay for everything. And I said, everything? And they said, yes. And they said, matter of fact, while you're here, you ought to go down the hall and talk to the food stamp people. And I said, food stamps? What's that? And they said, go talk to them. And so I went down and talked to the food stamp people, and we were literally poor as church mice, could hardly afford to buy food. And I qualified, and they gave me these little coupons, and we could go buy food. And then when Jennifer was finally born, it wasn't just a regular birth. It was C-section. That balloon, that thing went up to $2,000. And if I had made $3 more that month, I wouldn't have qualified. And the Lord sits back and said, see what I've done. And I'm saying, my word. Now I could, since I've been around a while, I could tell 100 stories like that. That's why I'm convinced that I didn't earn a ton of money selling wood, cleaning houses, cleaning offices. It's because God said, I want to take care of you. Because He knew that 30, 40 years down the road, we're not talking $2,000 mountains. We're talking real mountains. And it's the same God that for a 21-year-old kid says, I want to help you feed your family. I want to help you pay for the baby that's coming. It's the same God then that takes you through things that literally scare the willies out of you. And you're wondering, not cursing, but almost, God, where are you? God says, I'm right here. Right here. Right here. So now when I call it facing real problems, deeply convinced that God is there. There is a faith that overcomes fear. And our Savior wants to take you there. Paul, the apostle, and I really am getting ready to wind down. Romans 8. He wasn't one of the original followers of Jesus. Romans 8, 28, Paul says, for we know, not I hope, I'm sure praying, but we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul says, we know these things. Paul, been there, done that. And I'm not trying to equate myself to the Apostle Paul, but if I could have a personal one-on-one conversation with you, I could tell you from my experience, God's going to work this out for you. I know. I'm not hoping. God causes everything to work out for the good of those who love him. Verse 36, let me skip on. He says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or diminishing health? I added those. Or the Democrats or Trump or the Republicans or Obama? He said, is that going to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Verse 37, no. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. We mean we're survivors. No, 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 no. You're unflappable. You're moving right through this process. More than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Look at verse 38. For I'm convinced. I am convinced. I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present or the future, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How are you more than a conqueror? Come on, Delmer. I'm not talking about whistling. I'm not talking about whistling past the graveyard, pretending that you're not afraid, pretending that things are fine. No, 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 no. That's magical stuff. If you fake it long enough, you're going to make it. That's magical stuff. Paul said, I'm convinced that life or death, principalities or powers, nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. And because I'm convinced of that, I'm more than a conqueror. Guys, there's nothing going to separate you from God's love. The trouble you're presently facing. Moms, the fears you have of wayward children. The spouses that go south. Children that go weird. You don't have to react to that because God's with you. God saw that coming before you did. And God's right there walking with you. So you don't have to freak out. You don't have to, it's like that young man that I was, just freak out, working your fool head off, trying to pay your own way. And the Lord had made provision through welfare, call it what it is, for my baby to be born and for us to have food to eat while I finish school. Jesus said often, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I use this scripture, I could use 100 of them in the New Testament. Jesus always got his guys together. He says, now guys, don't be afraid of what's coming down the pike. Don't let it rattle you. We've all known people that go through incredible circumstance, incredible legal issues, incredible relational issues, and just keep right on moving through. And they're not rattled. They're not shaken to the core. They're not in denial, and they're not some kind of a moron or idiot. A deep-seated confidence that God's going to take care of this. I don't know how it's going to end. Maybe it's my time to die. Maybe the Lord's done with me here on this earth. Not going to be afraid of that.
because he said he'd be with me. Maybe there are lessons your children have to learn. Don't let it rattle you, moms. Don't let it rattle you, dads. John 16:33, and I'll close with this. I told you these things so that you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. Closing screen, put it up there, Austin. What would I do if I were absolutely sure that God was with me? What would you do if you were absolutely sure that God was with you? For me, 16, 17 years ago, I started a charter school. Know nothing about education, but I saw a need for the kind of atmosphere that I was looking for. What would you do if you knew that God were with you? If you knew that God would walk right alongside of you, what would you endeavor? I don't know what your deal is, but God does. Some of you have your life in front of you. Some of you have your life in the rearview mirror. But today, looking forward, what would I do if I knew that God was with me? What kind of steps would I take? Instead of winding up and winding down, God's with me. God's with us. Don't be afraid. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for these people who have patiently listened to me. Lord, that we would not be afraid. And I know these people, a lot of them are in a scary situation right now. As it were, they're in a sinking ship. And the water's coming in all around them. And it's not a matter of months and years ahead, it's a matter of tomorrow. It's a matter of today. Lord, however you can, you've heard what I said, Lord, to reassure the hearts of people. That's something that I can't reach to, but you can. Lord, that you are with us. Pray that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Closing scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Isaiah says, don't call everything a conspiracy like pagans do, and don't live in dread of what frightens them. Make the Lord of hosts holy in your life. He is the one who you should fear. He is the one who should make you tremble. He will keep you from all harm. God bless you guys. We really do appreciate you being here this morning. We appreciate you watching online. God bless you. Love one another and consider yourself dismissed. Don't forget to take a flower to somebody today. God bless you.